It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, a lot going on. It's been a busy week in our news studio trying to get all the information out to you, but wanted to do another check-in and look back at the recently adjourned short session of the Oregon State Legislature and State Representative Gary Leaf using social distancing to join us on the phone this afternoon. Gary, thanks for being on.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having me on. And I'll try and give you a short overview of the session. The short session termed out, and we are not in session right now at this time. But at this point, it would really be up to the governor to call a special session. Any special session requires a clear and defined purpose, and there could be multiple purposes at this point. So for now, we're not in session, and I don't know of any legislative priorities. But I got a call just a few minutes ago, and at 5 p.m. today, we're going to be talking with governor and leadership about the possibility of a special session for one day next week. So more coming on that, and we'll see what happens.
Now, is there a particular topic that's being put out there for the session?
Not that I'm aware of. You know, we have the emergency board. It's called the E-Board. So most all of any funding requests that keep the government agencies going can be handled in that. So it could be the coronavirus. It could be some special legislation to help businesses through this. I mean, it could be a multitude of different topics to be defined.
And I know when the session ended rather abruptly among the dispute between the Democrats and the Republicans, et cetera, there was talk from the governor's office of a special session and maybe a series of them to cover different things and starting very soon. But it sounds like this one may be sooner than planned.
Yeah, we talked about actually in late September having like a week-long session. So I just got, like I said, a phone call from our leadership, our caucus leadership, that said she's proposing a one-day special session. I would think that it's probably more about the coronavirus. I don't see the request for funding right now. So, like I said, I'll know here at 5 o'clock today.
So let's go back and kind of go through the session. Obviously, only three pieces of legislation made it through both chambers and to the governor's desk to be enacted. Of course, there's a big disagreement between the Democrats and Republicans as to whether or not the walkout should have taken place. What's your perspective?
You know, Kyle, I just don't understand how the governor and the supermajority can ignore the voice of so many rural Oregonians. But it's not time for that conversation right now. Is the time to be completely bipartisan in our efforts and focusing on eliminating the threat from the coronavirus. At this time, we're really not Republicans or Democrats or independents. We're Oregonians. We're Americans. And we face a real threat that's non-political. And I'm calling on all lawmakers to really set aside their politics and support the governor with whatever that legislation might be required.
So after the session ended, what was the general feeling among the Republicans that you were around?
Well, you know, I think it was about 3 or 4 days beforehand, both the Senate Republicans and the House Republicans made an offer to the Speaker and the Governor that said, we'll come back to Salem on Sunday, which was the last day in session, and we'll pass all of the funding bills that needed to be passed. And so we kind of all thought we were going to be back there on Sunday. Matter of fact, the Senate showed up for that whole Sunday. But that was that just wasn't taken by the majority party. And so there was never a combined effort to do that. If you remember in 2019, when the Senate did that, they came back and they passed about 120 bills on the last day. So it could have been done, but nothing was done. And it seems to be really a very partisan issue. And it was the one issue. It was the cap and trade. And if you remember, 28 counties in Oregon said that they wanted the people to vote on that. And that's really the rural divide that's going on right now. And when you looked at all the polling, over 50%, and sometimes I saw one poll that was 98% from Portland who said, let the people vote on it. And that was the only issue that we had. We would have been back at the table the next day or very shortly after that if the governor would have sent that to the vote of the people. I did speak with a speaker a day after we left, and her, you know, what she had said is they'd been working on that for 2.5 years. It was so complicated. They really didn't want to send it to the voters. They wanted to do it in the legislature. And my play on that was, it's kind of hard for me to overturn the will of the voters by 47 legislators. And so that's where we ended up.
And after this session, Governor Brown almost immediately talked about some form of executive action. That was done. From what you've been able to tell so far, the actions taken by the governor, do they kind of mirror what would have been in the legislation, or was it pulled back a bit?
You know, that took me by surprise, actually. I didn't think that action would happen, but it did. I think there'll be probably some sort of lawsuit or legislative council will be looking into that. I was actually up in Salem on Tuesday, and we were talking to our leadership, and they were asking the same question. If you look at the Oregon Constitution, I don't see where the governor has the authority to do something like that, so I think it'll be challenged. But again, it just shows the rural divide. You know, when like I said, 28 counties say, let the voters vote on this, and one person says, no, I'm going to do this myself.
And what about that rural-urban divide in Oregon? It's been talked about for really decades at different points. It's involving different specific issues. In this case, it seems to be the cap-and-trade issue. There's even been movements started recently to open the conversation to putting rural counties in Oregon and in the state of Idaho. That's something that's not been done before ever. But do you feel like a lot of the people in the rural area are just getting kind of fed up?
You know what I called it, and I've talked to many people about it, it's really taxation without representation. And so when you look at, you know, something as important as cap and trade, you know, here we're not being represented by allowing us to vote on it, but yet the Portland majority will end up passing something like that through the legislature, and we won't have a say on it. So we'll end up paying all of the taxes for that, but we don't have a voice with that. When I was hiding out, I hid out in California, and gas was about a dollar more per gallon. And every day we were on the phone, my wife's my chief of staff and I, we had an office set up in a remote location. We had our conference calls going on, leadership calls. We were really talking quite a bit. And so what I did is I started to reach out to some of the industry up in our area up here. And one industry, just one company, said it would cost about $600,000 just for the gas that was proposed being raised. That was just one. And you look at people like Umpqua Dairy, or, you know, people that really travel, the transportation is all over Oregon. I mean, this would directly affect them. And if you think that they can reach down in their pockets and pay for that, you're wrong. Oregonians will end up paying for that. I had, and I was really surprised. I had my medical checkup the other day, and I was talking with the doctor, and I said, does this recent CAT tax, you know, that's that gross receipts tax, does that affect you? And he said, oh my gosh, it was huge that affects him. And it's 5%, 0.05% of the gross So even if you lose money, you still have to pay for it. It affects a lot of us, and yet we really don't have a voice up in Salem for that. And so, like I say, it's taxation without representation, in my opinion.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. Back in 1 minute with State Representative Gary Leaf. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1 on Mondays Inside Douglas County. Not talking about the legislature, not talking about coronavirus, but we're talking about fire season, getting ready for spring, summer, and months to come with Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association. He'll be on Mondays Inside Douglas County. State Representative Gary Leaf with us right now, reviewing the recently adjourned session of the Oregon State Legislature. You mentioned being out of state and mentioned that you were in California during that time. How much work did you feel like you could get done working remotely?
Actually, we did quite a bit of work. And, you know, it's kind of neat. There's a couple of things that I'm really interested in, and housing and homelessness, and it's kind of one of those areas. And I actually hired a full-time staff person to kind of work on that and mental illness. And so when we were in California, we went to 2 different counties, about 3 different cities. I met with the sheriff down there in Crescent City. We talked about homeless issues and what they were doing. And then he asked me to go down to Eureka. So we went down the coast to Eureka and look at that. And we looked at some housing facilities. There was a tiny home facility down there we were very impressed with. And we talked to actually some of the homeless people that were down there. And I had a great conversation with one of the homeless. And I said, you know, straight up, I said, why can't you just get a job and help yourself, you know, get out of the situation that you're at? And he was very candid with me. He said, I would, but I have no place to stay. So my job right now is to protect the belongings that I have. And to try and find a place to stay tomorrow and the next day. But if I had a house, if I had a place to stay, whether it be a tent or a tiny home or, you know, whatever, then I could go out and get a home. And he'd been homeless for about 2.5 years. He lost his job. And you could kind of tell that there was some mental illness that was setting in with him. And so that's kind of, We did kind of a lot of looking at that when we were down there, and I thought it was very, very helpful. And then plus my wife was setting up calls all the time. So we had constituents, and we had, some people that wanted to talk about legislation. And so we were always on the phone talking about stuff, reading articles. And then we had our caucus calls every day that were about an hour and a half, you know, talking about things that were really important. And of course, I had a couple of bills that were really important to me that didn't end up getting passed. Of course, there were only just a handful that got passed. And, you know, those were very concerning. And we really would have been back if we could have just sent cap and trade to the voters. But, you know, I had a great CASA bill and it didn't get passed. And then there was also a sewer septic grant program for rural Oregonians, was really important, especially for the coast. Those things all didn't see the light of day. And so, I mean, it had great effects on everybody.
And one thing some people have pointed to from either side of the aisle, really, is all that legislation, all that work that went into things. And if you have maybe in a special session or in a future session next year, have those come back, they basically have to start from square one.
Yep, that's true. That's absolutely true. But a lot of the stuff that we can do kind of in our legislative days, so we can have our committee meetings and be all prepared. So when the 2021 session starts, we'll at least have done a lot of the legwork, and it can move the process a lot quicker. But remember, Kyle, we would have been back there in a day or two. We would have passed all of those important bills, And this would have not been an issue at that point.
So now we've had election filing. We know who's running for races this spring and hoping to get through their primary process in some cases and go to the summer. Do you feel like the Republican Party has an opportunity to pick up some seats, particularly in districts where voters tend to be fairly evenly split between parties?
Yeah, I do. And I'm hoping for a more fair, balanced, you know, legislature. We had that back in 2011. I think a lot of really great things happen because when you're more of that equal mix, then you have to work across the aisle. And I do that every day. I try and work to try and bring important legislation to rural Oregon. But you can't if you have a supermajority of either side. You know, you really need to have a good mix of both sides in order to move things forward.
And that was a historic time when we had at least one biennium, I believe it was, where we had the co-speaker model.
Yeah, 30-30 split. It absolutely was. And it's kind of funny. I talked to some people that were a part of that session, and they said there wasn't a lot of bills that got passed. And my comment was that a bad thing? So we have less regulation? Is that not bad?
So going forward, in your work for the time period now, you mentioned the potential special session coming up. What other things are you working on in the coming days?
You know, probably the most important thing right now is what's very challenging around the globe, and that's the coronavirus. This medical emergency is moving very quickly, and I think that all government leaders are trying to make the best possible decisions. I applaud and I support the work that's being done by our governor. As a state, we have sufficient emergency board funds in place, so I don't see the real need for a lot of legislative stuff. But I am prepared to return to Salem at any time to deal with any crisis. It's not my job to get ahead of really what the governor and the newly created special joint committee, you know, are trying to do. It's a great bipartisan effort to make sure that people are safe and that we have the resources available for both rural and the metropolitan areas. I don't know if you saw, but Douglas County is setting up a hotline today for people to call in and talk to professionals and doctors. So Dr. Dannenhofer will be live on the Douglas Public Health Network page tonight between 6 and 7 p.m. And so those are the, I think, probably the really pressing things. But, we were out yesterday for lunch. We went to Abby's out on Stephen Street, and I was just kind of really concerned, you know, what was going on. The place was packed, and Abby's was doing a great job. I mean, they had little hand stations all over the place. They were changing all the utensils to make sure there were clean utensils. And they were doing a really great job, and the place was packed. So, you know, we need to remain calm. We need to, you know, make sure that we're, you know, doing all the things that we need to do to make sure we don't spread anything.
You know, one of the things I found interesting, one of my recent conversations with Dr. Dannenhofer, and they've been rather frequent in the past couple of weeks, is a lot of the initial precautions that come out, even at the front end of this, are things, and I asked him about this to see if I was missing something, are things that people should be doing normally anyway, and if were done better on a regular basis, would probably cut down a whole lot of other issues like the more common flu.
Yeah, I said exactly the same thing. You know, I'm really horrible about touching things and not cleaning my hands. Right now, I'm being extra careful. So, I mean, I put my keys in my left-hand pocket, and if I touch or shake hands, it's with my right hand. So any of the things that I need that are on, you know, open my truck or open my car, I grab with my left hand. As soon as I get in, I make sure that I do a hand cleaning. We do a lot of elbow bumps, you know, when we're talking to people. You know, this should probably be the lowest flu season we've ever had in history, just because people are very aware of what they need to do.
What do you feel like in terms of the state response? Some people have been critical, feeling like the state's going too far.
You know, I'd have to trust my leadership. I'm not really sure. You know, the governor came out and she limited any gatherings above 250 people to not take place. And when you think about it, and if you're 60 years or older, they suggest that you don't have gatherings of more than 10. If someone has the virus and you have, you know, you're in an auditorium or stadium or something like that, that can spread pretty quickly. So you notice that the schools are going to be closed now for 2 weeks starting on Monday. I'm a little concerned about, you know, how families are going to deal with having a child at home for 2 weeks, but I'm sure we'll work together. The meals are going to be a really important thing too. And as I understand, they're actually trying to gather like a Meals on Wheels for students type thing. So a lot of stuff's coming. I don't know that we're overreacting. I think we're reacting cautiously.
State Representative Gary Leaf, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Kyle. Thanks a lot. You have a great day.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.